Hey, what is up? This is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 10 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. Super excited for this one. I essentially got a chance to talk to the Frank Sinatra of barbecue, the coolest of the cool, Billy Durney, hometown barbecue in Brooklyn. I don't even know how to do an intro to this because it's he's just so damn cool. We talk about how he got into barbecue, and he had a completely separate career prior to this, but the barbecue bug, like it gets a lot of people, got him and got him hard. And we talk about the early stages and how he was cooking and screwing stuff up just like everyone else does. We talk about how he opened his restaurant and how Hurricane Sandy affected that. Such an interesting story, and he has a massive, massive heart. It's just, you could just, for the community, for the barbecue community, for everyone, for his employees, he's just a great guy, and you're going to fall in love with him. If you don't know him already, you're going to fall in love with him and really, really enjoy the stories and the knowledge and the passion of this man. If you like what you hear, please subscribe. I'll be adding two of these per week. I know you're going to like this one. Thanks so much. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm great. I'm actually upstate New York. So my wife and I have a house up here, so we get to escape the city.
Okay, cool. How long are you there through Christmas?
Yeah. So we just got here yesterday. And you have a Sam Jones shirt on?
I do have a Sam Jones. Actually, you know what? I was going to tell you, this is a big week for me because I get to talk to you. And yesterday I spoke to Sam Jones for about 45 minutes, and it was...
Sam's one of my best friends.
He's one of the coolest guys, and so interesting, and yeah, it was
such an honor. How many one-liners did you get?
What's that? What, I'm trying to think. I was thinking, oh, when I do my intro, I got to think of, because he has lots of Southern sayings. It's so cool.
Man, oh man, yeah. I can't even begin to tell you how many I know.
Yeah, and actually, I talked to Johan last week, and I think you guys are going out there.
Oh, yeah. I got Sam, Pat, and Wayne Miller to go with me this time. It's going to be crazy.
How cool is that? That's just going to be an amazing event.
Yeah, that's my wrecking crew right there.
Johan said I can come and hang out for a couple of days, so that would be just ideal.
Oh, you're going to come to it?
Yeah, I'm going to come to it, yeah.
Oh, we're going to crush it.
And Sam said, he's like, if you can't have fun with those four guys, with these four guys, you suck at having fun.
You suck at having fun.
And I'm like, I've never.
That's definitely true. We all say that, you know. Sam, the four of us have a very special bond. I actually met Wayne, Sam, and Pat Martin all this at the same time.
Oh, really?
When I started getting into barbecue at one of Mike Mills's classes in Murfreesboro.
Oh, I've always wanted to go to one of those.
They were all instructors, so I said, "Hey, if I'm going to learn anything about barbecue, I need to go to where, you know, some of the best cooks in the world are going to be." And that's how I started.
Oh, really? And that was, yep. Was that before you opened the restaurant or
after? Oh, way before. That was like in 2011, 2012, something like that.
Was that a whole hog kind of thing?
Yeah, it was the whole hog extravaganza that Mike and Amy Mills were on. It was just, unfortunately, they invited me to be one of the main people this year, but the schedule didn't work out. But it's pretty full circle to have been a student in that class. Now some of my best friends in the world are from there, including Mike.
How incredible is that? That's one of the reasons why I'm doing this, and I want people to know the camaraderie and the family, the barbecue family. I think
Overwhelming. Like the barbecue community. You know, barbecue is a lifestyle. It's a community. It's a village, and we are a very close knit unit, and care very much about each other. And you know, the success of keeping it going with the old traditional authentic cooking ways as well. So that's why at some point in the middle of Brooklyn, I had 10 offset smokers and reversal smokers burning in the middle of a residential community, and because I wanted to do it the right way, and those are the guys who definitely started me out. Mike Mills, Wayne Miller, Sam, Pat, all those guys were the first guys I ever met that were really doing it at the highest class, you know.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that people might think that because they're so famous or they're so respected in the barbecue community, they might have a lot of secrets and they're guarded. But it seems like everyone is really supportive.
Pat Martin, I was saying, if you have any secrets, you're an asshole. Period. There's no secrets. If you want to put in the work and you want to bleed, then you can get to where we got. That's it. Yeah. Period. It's that simple.
It is that simple. And everyone's success, like, and there's someone else's success never hurts someone else. I don't understand why people.
Right. No way. I pray that a line of great barbecue guys come and open up right next to us in Brooklyn. I have no problem with that.
Oh, and I've talked to some people in Los Angeles, and if 40 places open up, it would help everyone else. It would make it.
If they're good.
Yeah, if they're good.
Not good.
No, that doesn't hurts. Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't help.
And that actually, it's disingenuous and doesn't make sense.
Well, that's the thing. You know, if you don't seek out the greats, mm-hmm. and offer your humble self to them, mm-hmm. and put them in your hands, then you'll never understand the real, other than now reading Aaron's book, which is just a manifesto on how to do what we all do.
That's a farmer, yeah.
It is. I mean, if I was a nobody like I was getting into the barbecue community, I mean, you can read that book and pretty much be on your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and it seems like a common thread that I've talked to. Most people have said.
I bet.
Yeah, a lot of the newer people, the older people, of course, they love his book, but it seems like, yeah, the people that are just getting into it, they read that, they watch some of his videos online, and then they're kind of in that direction and then reach out to the community.
Yep. I love Aaron for all that he's putting out there in the world of barbecue and just letting it rip. Like I said, secrets are for people who are trying to hide something. And if you reach the success that we're reaching and you can't pay it forward, then you're just a shitty person.
Yeah, you're just a jerk.
You're a jerk. Yeah, yeah, you're a real jerk. You are.
No, I agree. I agree completely.
No one deserves all the success we have. I mean, we're barbecue guys are like rock stars now. It's so strange. It's really and funny enough, the most humble human beings.
Uh-huh. For
the most part.
For the most part, yeah. There are a couple.
There are exceptions and stuff like that, but you'll find them pretty lonely hanging out with themselves instead of traveling to Sweden and Copenhagen together.
No, you're not going to see them having the fun that they –
No.
They probably don't have fun doing anything they're doing anyway.
The four guys that you mentioned, Wayne Miller, yeah. Sam, and Pat and I, we've sat by many, many, many fires together now and told many lies around the burn barrels and stuff like that. So we have no secrets. We have no skeletons in the closet. We just generally love each other and respect, particularly when it comes to Wayne and Sam, the lineage and the heritage for where they come from and the respect that I have for both Mr. Jones and Bobby Miller is – I mean, I can never repay the stuff that I've learned just from their lineage.
And they never had that success or that acclaim that you guys have, that any of these guys have, because
of course
there wasn't the social media, there wasn't the kind of rock star style. It was
they were just trying to feed their communities mm-hmm. the best way they knew how.
And a lot of them struggled just to make it, but
they struggled.
Made a wage, and that was it. And then
that's it.
It is on the backs of all these champions. Now you were in the security business. You were is that how
yeah,
you started?
Yes. I my dad was a security expert, and. I wanted to follow my dad's footsteps and actually go in the army. My dad was, I hate to use the word war hero, but, cause it's a little off putting, but he was a Vietnam veteran. He served in the special forces in Vietnam, and I wanted to travel in his, in his footsteps. You know, my dad's my best friend to this day. So I actually went to try to go into the army and found out that I was born with one kidney and they wouldn't accept me. Yeah. It's a crazy story, but, which they may attribute to Agent Orange in Vietnam. So it's just a crazy story. Yeah. So I got into the security business because when my dad got out of the army, he was pretty involved in security at a pretty high level. And my brother winded up going into law enforcement on a massively high level in counterterrorism and intelligence.
Oh, wow.
So once I knew I couldn't go to the army, I wanted to do something to follow my dad's footsteps. So I went into the private security sector. I had a bunch of jobs before that, but I was really serious and close in protection. And my dad had a lot of friends in the Secret Service and diplomatic security. So I started to get some experience training with those guys and kind of fell in love with it. And most of my career was spent with Young Hollywood. Hollywood and stuff like that. I really don't talk about it much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I won't hear, but you can Google it.
But it wasn't, it was, the my main point is, it, and to let a lot of people know, it wasn't barbecue. It wasn't specific.
No.
It wasn't restaurant business.
I didn't, you know, I grew up in, I'm a street kid from Brooklyn. Barbecue was something you went to, not an actual type of cuisine. I didn't know anything really about smoked meats or smoked barbecue until probably 9 years ago.
Okay. And you, but did you buy yourself a smoker just for fun? Is that kind of?
Yeah, exactly. No, actually, well, yeah, I did. And then my mom bought me a better one for my engagement gift about 8 years ago. So
that's a great present.
So it was a Weber Smoky Mountain Bullet.
That was my first too.
And I still say I could smoke the best meat I'll ever cook in my entire existence. And I'll go against anybody is cooking on a Weber Smoky Mountain Bullet on my little deck in South Brooklyn.
Do you think it was because of what it was at the time, or do you think you could still crush it?
Well, the thing is, you know, when you get into these big insulated cookers, offset cookers, reverse flow cookers, yeah, you know, these big J&R boxes, all these things that people are using, you don't have to finesse them as much as standing over that Weber Smoky Mountain with the door half open. There's so many variables that you have to know about. I mean, I was, for months, actually probably for years, I was sleeping with the Maverick alert thing on my pillow. So I mean, that's how I learned how to cook barbecue on a little tiny deck in South Brooklyn. Tearing up some, making some awful beef ribs and burning everything to death,
like, until like jerky almost. Like like the edges were.
either jerky or like just rubber ball, like a bouncing ball. It was so
cooked. That's true.
I never forget the first time my wife now was my girlfriend at the time, and I went to this place called Paisano's, which I still buy meat from in Brooklyn for hometown. And I said, hey, I saw these big dinosaur looking ribs on TV. I said, do you know what those are? I don't even know what they are. Guy gave me back ribs, not beef plate short ribs.
Oh, no.
But they were awesome. They were way longer and bigger than I'd have ever seen a rib. But I actually went and put these three. I actually sent Daniel Vaughn, has become a really close friend of mine. Actually, I think I sent him the photos. It was the first thing I ever cooked perfectly. So I have photos of those ribs on the Weber Smoky Mountain with all the probes in it. And then I have the photos of it sliced, where you see this beautiful smoke ring and all the rendered beef fat. And I just
that first day, time is really what
that day was so overwhelming to me. I cannot tell you, Kevin, how overwhelming that was to me to know I could do it. And then I just started getting really into the science of meat and the science of wood combustion. And I just completely became a nerd about thermodynamics and airflow and all those things.
Yeah, and that's important to get into.
It is really important to get into. And, you know, which smoker you're using at the time has total different, you know, is one convection, is one radiant. So there's just so many variables. And we've cooked on so many different styles of cookers now that, you know, we have a really pretty rounded cooking style.
And what do you guys, I'll jump forward, but I'll jump back again. But what are you guys cooking on at hometown?
So Aaron built me two replicas of his offset cookers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so okay. I've had those for about 2.5 years, I'd say, 2 years, and we also have two J&R oiler pits. But hometown, but those are 100% wood fire, no gas, no electric, no anything.
And do
those
you cook pits, on site? Is or for some reason I think
on site and off site.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because those offset ones are off site, right?
Off site, right? At one point we had, up until we've only been using the J&Rs about a year. I think before that, we only used Aaron's two offsets, and we had 6 108 Langs.
Okay.
And they were all going at the same time. We still use the Langs for our catering. We have a double barrel 108 reverse flow smoker. Hometown was built on an 84 that was living outside the restaurant.
And that's legit. You could have that there, right? That's not.
No.
Okay.
No, we were totally rogue. Okay. We had eight massive wood burning cookers in the middle of a totally residential neighborhood. At one point, Wayne Miller came to cook with me for Big Apple block party. Well, he got invited, and we were two of the pit guys. By the way, you won't ever hear me say the word master pit anything.
Yeah, that's kind of a
stupidest term in the freaking world.
I use it just sometimes because people like they hold on to it some way. But I think it's
let them hold on to something else.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Cook, you're a cook, well, or you're a
whatever. That's all
bullshit. Yeah, yeah.
You don't find any of the real great ones calling themselves anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Let Mike Mills should call himself that because he's put in the, you know.
True.
He's gotten that reverence. So guys like that of that stature can call themselves masters of everything, in my opinion. But us young guys, man, we're just still knocking the ball around.
Just like everyone says, everyone's a genius. That person's a genius. Well, not everyone's a genius. There's not that many geniuses out there.
There's not a lot of geniuses. There's very few Miles Davises in the world.
Oh, there's never will be another one. Never, yeah, Miles Davis.
Exactly.
For sure.
That's what I'm saying.
So you and Wayne, you were
So Wayne came in. And he had one of his pits there as well. Mm-hmm. So we were using his closed pit and then seven or eight of mine. And the fire department showed up.
Oh.
Chris Lilly was there.
Oh.
Big Bob Gibson's, yeah, yeah, and a bunch of other people just laughing at us like we were a bunch of knuckleheads. The entire fire department shut down our service for that day. Really? And these are guys that I feed all day long. Oh. I mean, local fire department who we're so close with, but they just couldn't. There was nothing they can do. We literally blackened the entire Red Hook community that day, so they were a little pissed off. Wayne, if you ever talk to Wayne or Chris Lilly, they'll tell you that story. But they were laughing at us, so we got shut down for the day.
Oh, that's so funny. But then, how did you? What did you do? Cook somewhere else for the next day or something? Or how did that?
We were par cooking beefers for Wayne for Big Apple. That's okay, what that was. Okay. So we already had our cook done for the day. It was probably like 2 or 3 in the afternoon, and we pull from like 6 a.m. to like 10 a.m.
Gotcha. How did you get the idea for Hometown? Like, were you doing catering? You're doing catering, right? In between.
Well, what happened was I was just practicing on that Weber Smoky Mountain, and then I got the 22.5-inch Weber Smoky Mountain, and I was just practicing on my backyard for a couple of years. Just tightening up, you know, techniques and messing with different woods. And I was just trying to tune my craft in a little bit. So all the food I would cook would go to local bars that I hung out in.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a lot of lies told, but there's a lot of truth told in bars. And one specifically is they're not going to tell you the food's good if it's not. So I would bring the food, briskets, beef ribs, baby backs, whole untrimmed spare ribs, all sorts of stuff, pork shoulders. And I'd bring it to the bar, specifically this one bar called South in South Park Slope that was a few blocks from my house. And the owners, Paul and Dee, they were really good friends of mine. And they loved the fact that I would just bring this food and I wouldn't obviously charge for it. And all their customers got to eat this barbecue.
Oh, that's so nice.
And then that was it. I just was getting feedback from them little by little. And they thought I was onto something, and I don't know, it appears maybe I was.
Did you feel like there's a bug inside? Like, did you want to open a restaurant?
Oh, I was obsessed. I was obsessed after those back ribs.
Okay.
I mean, I was all in. Like, if you ever meet my wife, she'll tell you. Okay. I mean, I was, but that's me as a human being. I'm pretty addictive in personality. So as soon as I knew that it wasn't just luck, there was things I was doing personally to affect the outcome of the meat. That was just overwhelming to me. And then I had no idea how I was going to replicate it for a lot of people while I was building the restaurant, to be honest with you, because I had never cooked for more than maybe 100 people.
Okay.
So, Hometown feeds in the high times of the year, over 6,000 people a week. So
that's so crazy. So when you opened in 2014?
13.
Okay. And how was that? Were you nervous opening it up, or was it something?
Well, what happened was about 6 months before we were about to open, Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, Sandy. Okay.
And destroyed our entire build out and left us with this one Lang reverse flow smoker that was left in the building, and everything else in the entire building had to be gutted and redone.
Oh my gosh.
So we lost everything. And as you know, it's pretty well written about. But what I did was, I for the next 2.5 weeks, we collected donations of meat from all around the city. And I stood in the middle of the street for 16 days cooking for the community in Red Hook and Far Rockaway and all the people that were in need of food. Our restaurant hometown is surrounded by one of the most lethal urban projects. So only four or five, maybe six blocks from hometown is a project that has, you know, severe problems with gang activity and all sorts of stuff. It never, you know, Red Hook itself is an extremely safe and beautiful neighborhood, but just on the outskirts, it is a pretty dangerous place with a lot of, minority crime on crime. So it's,
sad.
It is sad, but the beauty of it is that we as a community and the Red Hook Initiative and a lot of people all joined together and are doing some really wonderful things for the youth of the community there. And I became a rib man. Like I would I'd cook like 50 slabs of ribs and deliver it to all the local churches and the projects and stuff. And that was, the people in the community thought that I was, this messiah. But really what was happening, it was my Xanax. I just, every dollar I had ever had in my life, everything I'd ever done in my life was all washed away that day. So, we borrowed some money. My business partner put up some more money. And we knew that Red Hook was the community. The name hometown comes because my grandmother immigrated from Norway, one from Norway, one from Ireland in the 30s, and they both lived in that community.
Oh wow!
So I actually named the restaurant hometown because it became their hometown. Obviously, it's my hometown, but it was really, I grew up cooking at my grandmother's knee and. The Norwegian one, and she was a fine cook, and she passed away a couple of years ago. But she got to see the restaurant.
I was going to ask you, did she get the chance to see?
She did.
Oh,
she,
that's special. That's important.
Yeah, I have a beautiful photo of my brother and I and her in the restaurant for friends and family, and then she had come subsequently once or twice. She couldn't move well. She couldn't walk well at the time, but she lived a beautiful life. She was in her early 90s when she passed. Yeah, we were all sitting around her bed as she passed, so it was a wonderful.
That is really, really important. That's amazing.
It was. I actually, thanks to Johan, my trip to Copenhagen and Sweden this year, I added a trip to Norway and visited the village that she was baptized in, the church that she was baptized in. Oh. And I got to meet the church was closed, and I got to meet the church, the caregiver for the church, and. Stood at the altar where she was baptized in the 1920s and actually found out that the Bible she was baptized in was in the building. I'm like a photo crazed guy, so I carry like a camera everywhere I go. I was able to document it, and I wept for a long time in that church that day.
It's making me want to weep right now. It's so moving.
They were happy tears. They were happy tears. She was a wonderful woman. It was a full circle moment for me, but I definitely have Johan to thank for getting me so close to drama in Norway to be able to do that. This is such an easy interview because you have Sam's shirt on. I feel like I'm a family.
And this is actually, I told Sam too, I said, this is one of the few shirts that I wear. I probably wear this, sadly, like twice a week. I just love, it's really comfortable.
It's a great shirt.
And it's just a cool shirt. And I want to, like, I went to.
No one cooler than Sam Jones.
No one is.
And Rodney Scott would argue that, but. That he was cooler, but
if I talked to Rodney Scott this week, I wouldn't have to do any more interviews. Like it would just be you, Rodney Scott, and
say Rodney Scott Rodney Scott is an amazing dude, man. He's
he just seems so passionate. And I listened to a podcast with him, and it's a cool dude, really.
Yeah, he is. Him and Sam are thick as thieves too.
Oh yeah, definitely. And then so with your restaurant, when you started, did you have a menu set out in your head, or did you kind of did it evolve?
Well, what happened was I ended up going out to Mike's thing, and then I traveled by myself, and but the whole reason I really got into barbecue was on a business trip on a protection thing while I was in Dallas. I winded up going out to Austin and driving the Lockhart, and the first brisket I ever tasted in my life was Smitty's.
Okay,
and then from there I went out to Taylor. And one step into Louis Miller's, and I was hook, line, and sinker, done, completely done. It was easily the most important moment of my career. I didn't have a cooking career at the time, but to this date, there's never been a more important moment than walking into Louis Miller's, and just, I didn't know anybody, no one knew me. It wasn't even a thought yet. I was cooking a little bit in the backyard, but I had no conception of ever being able to do what they did. But it, you know, having that beef rib that day, and just experiencing the overall feeling of that room, which I've now been in probably 50 times or more. You know, Wayne is one of my best friends in the world now, and I'm very lucky to have him in my life, and I'm very proud to be part of the lineage of Louis Miller. And
Have you cooked with him in Austin?
Well, I spent a lot of time with him there, and talking about theory and process, and you know, Jason, the pitmaster there, is a really close friend of mine. So, in a lot of ways, I've spent a lot of hours in Wayne's brain. Yeah.
Well, and if people are really into barbecue and they've never visited there, they have to go to Louis Miller. They have to go.
It's the cathedral for a reason.
It really is. And they say that, but it really feels that way when you walk in.
Yeah, there's very few places in the world still like that. You know, you don't get the feeling of, and I think the future of barbecue is not that, you know, I don't think it's those old buildings, cause it's not authentic.
No.
I think the future of barbecue is probably a more modern setting, like what John Lewis is doing in Charleston.
True.
And those kind of that's the look and feel, I think, of what's the future of barbecue is. But you still have this handful of just really special places like Lexington, like Snow's.
Yeah, and, like Lexington Barbecues, yeah, Skylight Inn, going to.
Well, yeah, Skylight Inn for sure, but, you know, still going to Snow's and going to Luling and City Market and those kind of places.
Yeah.
They're just rooms that could never be replicated.
Feel phony if you did that.
You can't replicate that, and you shouldn't try. And you know, that's why I'm glad some of these new guys that are coming out are finding these, like, especially in Central Texas, like these intermittent places, like Truth Barbecue in Benton, mm-hmm. Benham. You know, it's kind of like halfway through it, but they're creating their own vibe and they're creating their own look to. They think authentic Texas barbecue is, and I have a lot of respect for those guys.
Yeah, there's like the standards, like the standard items you have to have, but it's nice to kind of show that you do have that.
Yeah, just the feel, just even the name Truth and the feel of.
Oh yeah.
I think they have a sign that says "I love Texas" or something that everybody stands.
Yeah. I think
I love that though. Mm-hmm. I think there's something really unique to that. That's their point of view, and I love that. You know, and they're not trying to make someone else's point of view up. So
for sure,
that's just my 2 cents.
Yeah, your 2 cents means 3 cents to me. It's worth a lot more. So you're cooking. The one thing I know that you're cooking brisket, you're cooking beef ribs, but you have like lamb belly.
I mean, people always associate me with Texas barbecue, but the truth of the matter is I only make two dishes that are Texas style, in my opinion, and that's beef rib, which is a complete homage to Louis Miller, and brisket, of course. And, I think we cook them stylistically, we cook them in the same exact way as some of the great cooks do. I mean,
but then what other items do you have on your menu?
That's where it really ends. I mean, we do Korean sticky baby back ribs and Jamaican jerk baby back ribs and pastrami bacon and Vietnamese lamb belly. It goes, you know, we hand make our own tacos from scratch. We use Oaxacan pulled chicken. So we pull from, you know, I'm a street kid from Brooklyn. I grew up in the most multi-ethnic culinary epicenter in the world. Why in the world would I ever try to make, you know, pulled pork from chopped whole hog from Aden, or, you know, I certainly love to cook hogs, and if I was going to cook a hog, I'd cook it in the same vein as Sam or someone like I respect, like Pat Martin, or someone I respect so much in their process. But at the end of the day, I'm not really in business to be replicating what anyone else is doing. I'm trying to just cook the best food I can from my memories of the things I love the most growing up in Brooklyn, using authentic, archaic cooking techniques on all wood fire. That's it.
That's perfect. And you said how many seats does your restaurant have?
you know, hometown's 4,600 square feet. It's a big space, but we make the tables really large. The bars are, we have two bars, one in each room. We have a little music stage in one of the rooms. So it could probably seat a few hundred people, but I think at the end of the day, it probably seats about 150 or something like that. Not 116. It's not that many seats.
Oh, wow.
It's all counter service.
All counter service. So it's that style. So that's killer. That's,
yeah. I mean, the counter service, I mean, if you're a busy barbecue restaurant, I think people, especially in New York City and larger cities, get caught up with this whole, oh my God, they're trying to manufacture a line. But that's just not the reality. The reality is there's not enough seats for the amount of people that want to eat the food at the given time. You know, if you come in on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday afternoon for lunch or even early evening at hometown, you're going to wait on a 5-minute line. If you come on a Saturday, you're going to wait on a 2.5-hour line. It's just what it is.
And it's not, and hasn't, yeah, obviously it's not something
you're making. We beg people not to come Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I mean, they don't, you know, but that's the time that they can come. You know, we try to make it as hospitable as possible and talk about the line and why it's there. I mean, people can see that they're on a line and there's not a single seat to be had in the room. There's no way to actually put them. So that's the whole concept of really the old Southern concept of the counter service all stems from not having enough room. That's it.
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah. And now, are you open every 7 days a week or close
Mondays? We close on Mondays. On Mondays, we do a deep clean. We clean all the cookers. You know, part of making great barbecue to me is really keeping the cookers clean and making sure that the evacs on them are really clean and the chimneys are all scrubbed out and stuff like that. So we're pretty on top of it as far as keeping all that stuff really mechanically working well.
It's so important. And I've heard that the gates some places in Kansas City shut down for a month, I think.
They may have to because they have like 14 years of soot on their cooker. Yeah. You know, the only place in the, you know, I've been to pretty much every barbecue restaurant. Not every barbecue restaurant. I mean, Daniel would laugh at me for saying that. He's probably got 1,000 on top of me, but I've been to enough. I've been to enough. The only one I let get away with those old shitty soot-covered, carcinogen, creosote-covered smokers is a place in Kansas City called LC's, which I just adore. I adore the owner. I adore the guy. Anything about that place is legitimate and authentic to me. So,
but the soot, it's like dripping off. It looks like it's
just disgusting. It's
it's calcified or something.
It's awesome. They don't understand that too. I mean, it's just an ember away from going off fire. Oh, yeah.
And a lot of them do. In Texas, you always hear about places. Look at the Mecca, the Franklin, yeah.
Aaron's, yeah. Yeah, I was just in Austin for Aaron's 40th birthday.
I saw a photo of that.
Yeah, yeah, we had such a great time. I mean, it was but I got to see the new building. And
oh, how does it
there's
look?
There's really, you know, Aaron walked me through it, and there's so many cool things that, you know, when – you know, my mom's been saying some little kid when God closes a door, he opens a window. Mm-hmm. It almost feels like that for Aaron because he went through that whole process in building this beautiful pit room that then went on fire. But now he gets to even build it so much better because there were things in there that needed some fixing. Like he's raised the ceilings probably 8 to 10 more feet, which gives the guys so much more air. And, you know, it's not 120, 130 degrees every day in that pit room in the summer. So just certain things that I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure like little things.
Smokers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Aaron is really entrenched in the science as all, some of us are. And I think he's figured that out in the building process as well. So, you know, Braun and the guys over there will have a wonderful pit room and to be very proud of.
I can't believe you flew out. You're so busy. Now you also have
one. I'm not too busy for certain people, and Aaron's one of them. I have a lot of respect for what Aaron's accomplished. Not to mention, I mean, Aaron's wife and daughter. I mean, we're all very close friends now, and we don't have tons of friends outside of the barbecue. You know, I don't have tons of friends inside the barbecue community that I would do some of that stuff for, but he's certainly one of them.
Wow, that's so nice. That's so nice. Well, I wanted to end it kind of with you have a couple new restaurants that you're working on, right? Or at least
yeah. So we're
because you have a chicken place.
I'm super passionate about fried chicken, and So is a lot of people. The problem is, it's very hard. I've been working at fried chicken recipe and biscuit recipes for 14 months now. So it's really an intense process, and I'm never happy with it. And the problem with the fried chicken stuff is, just like barbecue, you get so numb of eating it that you don't even know if it's good or bad anymore. So I'm in the process of that. And then people want to rent Hometown out and buy it out all the time to have weddings and functions and parties. But we can never do that simply because, we've become this pretty well-known destination barbecue place. So we're building a replica of that about 7 minutes away with a state-of-the-art commissary kitchen in this old warehouse.
So smart.
Which was the original Topps baseball card building.
That's so killer. Baseball,
football fan, basketball fan as a kid. And to know that all the cards that we flipped against each other and all the cards that we treasured as kids were made in the building that I'm going to be now cooking in. So part of the deal for that space was that we would have to put in a retail some kind of retail, and they obviously wanted it to be barbecue, but we were pretty passionate that we weren't going to do any other barbecue in New York. And so they asked, what else I was into. I said, I've always been inspired by Brooklyn delis, specifically inspired by Jewish delis.
Oh, without a doubt.
I've been making pastrami and corned beef for many, many years, I think at a pretty high level. So living in New York, you can't make it at nothing better than a high level.
So
we decided on a deli. So it'll be called Hometown Deli. The fried chicken will be called Hometown Pan Fried Chicken. We're just trying to keep everything on brand and doing it the most authentic way we can. And where are you?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Stuff going on over there. I mean, and Daniel were just talking about some trips. LA was one of them, and
Well, Adam Perry Lang's opening up something out here.
That's my boy.
Yeah, so his I think it's a. I
met. When is he opening?
I was supposed to be the end of this year. I don't know. Yeah, it's gonna happen soon. But I met a girl who was actually doing all of his sides, which she has. I think she has a book called "Cook Like You Give a F*** or something. Or
I love that.
Yeah. So she's I just randomly met her, and she's like, "Yeah, I'm doing the sides for Adam Perry Lang." I'm like, "That's odd that I would." But it sounds cool.
I actually have a ton of family. I'm in LA a lot. I have my brother-in-law, who's in my home right now with his wife and new daughter. They live in Santa Monica, and I lived there back in my protection days for a little bit. And so I have a lot of friends and family there. So I'm there all the time. So next time I'm there, I'll reach out.
Yeah, reach out. Yeah, I would love to. There's a lot of guys doing these pop-ups now. There's a couple of them that are really pretty good. Close.
Oh yeah, what's the
Trudy's Underground. There's
right, yeah. I talked to him recently.
To Bert?
Yeah, I talked to him recently. We share a lot of mutual friends, and
he's a good guy. He's
passionate. Yeah, he seems like a great guy, and the people I talk to say, his heart's in the right place and stuff. I told him when I'm out there, I'm going to come visit him for sure. Yeah. Did he open a brick and mortar?
No, he hasn't. He was going to do something on 3rd over in kind of close to the Beverly Center, but it's a tough beast out here because you can't have the offset smokers. A lot of people have. There's a guy Ray's in Huntington Park that's doing a really good job. He's using a JNR though, so you just can't have. A lot of these guys are buying these giant offset smokers, but they can't use them.
You know, I almost opened a Hometown in downtown LA. Funny enough, Adam Perry Lang and I were looking at the exact same space. And didn't know about it. And I actually totally dropped out because I thought he was going to take that space. And I said, there's no way that I'm going to open another barbecue restaurant, not near someone who I consider such a good friend. And then obviously now he's on Hollywood and Vine. So it's a little different. But LA's always been really interesting to me. And, not a lot of people know this, but I just signed a deal to do a really big place in Miami, and cool. And it'll be probably the only other barbecue restaurant I ever do, and it'll be all the things that I've learned over the past 7 years. It's going to be a crescendo to that. So I'm really I'm opening in the middle of nowhere, and in a 90% Dominican area in a produce center that sells Latino produce and Caribbean and Jamaican spices. So
that sounds cool.
Like I did Red Hook in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. I'm like open in the middle of Miami in nowhere. And my whole heart and soul is into it. So I hope I hope that people get what we're trying to do out there. So
is that going to be sometime next year or the year after?
It'll be this time next year to open. So October, November.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
Yeah, they invited me to cook in South Beach Food and Wine this year because I was opening. And I'm also was invited to be one of the guest chefs in Austin Food and Wine this year. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, nice.
And Rodney, it's me and Rodney. So they asked Rodney and I. So
when is
Rodney,
that? Is that April?
I think it's April. Exactly. Yeah, okay. It is April. Yeah, yeah. So Rodney and I will be the guest chefs in Austin Food and Wine this year, and I'm sure I'll talk to him and we'll put something really interesting together. And I'm sure that they don't need me making briskets in the middle of that park. So I'm sure I'll put my Brooklyn exclamation point on something that we do in Austin.
Well, you could do something with pastrami or corned beef.
Yeah, I guess it's so funny.
Doesn't travel so well, I guess.
It's so funny. We just we had breakfast together before everyone left. While we were, Daniel went into town for Aaron's birthday and some other folks, and we had breakfast together the next morning. And of course, Daniel had to get in two or three trips to somewhere, so he went to this market and got this pastrami that really rocked us all. It was really subtle and beautiful, and then we had this whole talk about pastrami because pastrami is becoming so chic and cliche now in the Austin area. Everyone's trying to do pastrami and stuff. But I will say, I mean, I don't remember the name of the place, something Mums or Mum, I forget the name, but it was extraordinary pastrami. And but I know that's a big thing out in Austin now is people doing pastrami. So
yeah,
the funniest thing is when I travel to some of these things, they invited me to Nashville, Music City Food and Wine last year. And I said, yeah, but I'm not cooking anything like you guys are used to. So they said, well, what do you want to cook? And I said, well, I do this really, really, really high-end Spam. So they're like, Spam, I love Spam here in the South. So, but I do it, of course, we use the jowls, the belly,
So you're actually making it like you're within a terrine or something?
It's a torchon. It's a French terrine. Yeah. But then I put it on, we smoke it. Then I put it in the plancha with like Land O'Lakes American cheese, French's mustard, white onions, and pickles, and it's like the best crystal you've ever had in your life.
That sounds
good. Yeah, it's cool. So that's what I've been touring with is my Spam right now.
That's the one thing people haven't really, there hasn't been anybody that's come like up against Spam really to try to, put it to the upper end.
Spam to anyone's Spam. We cooked in Hawaii last year and they were like, oh man, we were hoping you'd bring your Spam.
I want to try your Spam someday. Like,
yeah, man, no doubt. I'll bring it out. We'll bring it out to LA. That travels really well.
Oh yeah, that would be one of the easiest things to travel.
That's another. You already talked to Sam. You said right.
I talked to Sam yesterday. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's another crazy trip. I got Sam to come to Hawaii with me on this wood fired cooking thing last year, and we brought our families, including my newborn son, and his daughter's very young, and Sam just had another baby. I don't know if he mentioned it.
He didn't mention that, no. Oh, no, yeah, he did. Just
yeah, he had a little girl.
Emails because we were pushing it off like a month or two. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So So we went out to Hawaii, had a blast. It was me, him, John Tizar.
Oh, really? Knife?
Yeah, Sheldon from Top Chef, who's an extraordinary cook, Sheldon Simeon.
Oh, yeah.
And just a bunch of us. And we had Justin Brunson from Old Major in Denver.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Insane cook and charcuterie genius, and but anyway, we just had the best time, and we're actually going to do that trip again. So that's in the beginning of July, and then him and I, Pat and Wayne, go out to Northern Europe at the end of July. So it'll be
Your July is already
awesome. Yeah, in the middle, I think I'm cooking in Dublin, so that whole month is going to be fun.
It's gonna be epic. That you're gonna be a little tired, but who cares?
Yeah, well, I know you got to go, but I think the crazy part about barbecue now is it's taken over internationally. I mean, if we, me and several other cooks around the country get asked to do stuff internationally now, I mean, monthly. Yeah. To consult and to, London is one of those places that I have one of my good friends is in Paris consulting right now. So, I mean, it's just, it's just blown up internationally. I know Australia is a huge.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing is I've been reaching out to different people in other countries because I want people to understand the global reach of barbecue. And that's why I talked to Johan, and I'm going to talk to, there's two guys in Australia that Jess Prowles gave me recommendations to talk to. And
you should talk to Tomas in Paris.
Is that the Beast or no?
Yeah, at the Beast. Yeah. Okay. He's from Wayne's Loin. You know, I mean, he definitely is, shows a lot of respect and pays a lot of respect to Louis Miller as being, you know, someone who's mentored and helped him. And I'm sure a lot of pit guys in the world would say Wayne had a lot of touch to them, especially in the last 5 years.
Yeah, it feels like he's so generous, and it feels like he's a mentor to a lot of people now. And I think that's cool. I think that he's realized his place too. Like, you kind of have to figure out kind of what you want to do in life. And
yeah, he's worked really hard to keep Louis Miller to where it is. And it's not an easy town to cook barbecue in Texas. It's very limited in. You know, and the locals don't want any change. You know, the customers that have been going there for 50 years, if you raise it, you know, or you raise something up 50 cents because you're using prime beef, they just don't care. They don't want to hear it. Uh-huh. So
yeah, they get mad when he added pork or something to the menu and they were.
No, baby back ribs. They went crazy.
Yeah, they went nuts.
They went completely crazy. So I can't wait till I get Sam and Wayne to put on Korean sticky ribs on their menu. People shit their pants in Aiden, North Carolina.
Well, Sam was telling me yesterday that a lot of people were up in arms because he sold beer. People were so
yes, in his new place. That's right. Yeah, yeah. I was there for the opening. I came down and I went from busboy to expediter on his opening day for him.
Hey, you got to do it.
Yeah, we were all down there. Rodney was down there. Pat Martin was down there. I mean, Nick Packus, of course, like all those guys. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we all support each other heavily in this thing. But yeah, they were up in arms that he was serving beer, and you know, it's a totally different marketplace where he is. And you know, there's nothing but great things for Sam in the future.
Yeah, I used to go out to North Carolina twice a year for my old job and for the furniture business. And that's when I learned about Lexington and all the different small little spots. But, you know, I realized how the sales of alcohol were different than they were in California. Everything was.
Oh, completely. Yeah, I mean, it's.
And New York too. Like when I went to New York, they're like, you could be like 15. Sometimes it seems like they're just like, whatever. I'm sure things are different now.
Yeah, but you can get a 40 from a bodega for sure.
It just feels a little different. Well, awesome. I thank you so much.
I'm glad we finally got this going.
Yeah. Enjoy your Christmas. Enjoy your, are you taking a little time off or is it?
Yeah, I've been really pretty sick for the last 2 weeks. I mean, this flu is going around New York City pretty strong. People,
my friends have it here too.
Yeah, yeah. So it kind of just knocked me down. So I think I'm at the tail end of it. I'm not sick anymore, but I'm still a little weak. But I'm feeling good, and you know, I'm just happy to be around my family. We're gonna cook some. The local butcher gave me some 200-day ribeyes to cook, and So I'm making smoked turkey and 200-day ribeyes, and then all the accoutrements for Christmas. So I'm really looking, and I'll be smoking them on my Weber Smoky Mountain, by the way.
Nice, that's nice. Well, feel
better. I have a bank pit here. I have a huge J&R Wood Show, which is the Asado, Santa Maria Grill. But I think I'm going to light up the Weber Smoky Mountain and just
nice old school.
You know, go back to my roots.
Nice. Well, get better so that way you can taste everything. You want to make sure you can taste all of it.
Oh, I'll taste everything just fine.
Well, thank you again, Etta. And when you come out to LA, let me know. And for sure, I'll be in about 2 months. I'll be out in New York, so I'll shoot you an email.
Cool. Wish that guy Bert well for me too.
Well, for sure. All right, you take care.
Yeah, cheers.
Thanks so much. Man. Cheers.